Well, hello, hockey fans, and welcome back. It's another episode of From the Press Box right here on the AHL Report. So happy to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us. I, of course, am your host, Amy Johnson, the lead correspondent at the AHL Report, and I'm joined each and every week by our founder and editor-in-chief for Rocket Sports Media, and that is Mr. Rick Stevens. How you doing?
Well, you sound awfully chipper. You must be having a tremendous day.
The faking it is working. It's more like, you know, I've had this Tuesday has felt like a Monday, so I'm just putting on my best, hey, I'm just having a great day voice, so I'm glad it's working.
Works for me.
Well, welcome to everyone. We part of the craziness of today is that I'm still playing catch up from the Rocket Sports team being on the road this weekend. The Laval Rocket went out on their first road trip of the season, and that means that the Rocket Sports media team went out on their first road trip of the season. We were on site in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, for the Penguins Rocket game on Friday night, and then also traveled to Bridgeport, Connecticut on Saturday night to keep tabs on the team there. And Rick, I have to say, even though they also then had an afternoon matinee game in Providence on Sunday, which I'm sure none of them would want to talk about. So despite the dismal effort on Sunday afternoon, I thought it was a relatively pretty good showing from Laval all weekend long. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was. They came out on the wrong side against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, but the game went in to extra time. The game was, it was an exciting one. It was lots of goals scored.
Oh, my gosh,
scored.
Yeah.
And as I guess has been the case so far this season for Laval, they've been in a number of high-scoring games. And then the game against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, I would say that was a solid, comfortable win. So I think they played well in two of the three road games. And it's always good for the team to get out on the road to get to know their teammates a little bit better and bond. I thought it was a pretty good showing for the first road trip.
I thought so too, and Coach LeFabe seemed to agree. He, despite the loss on Friday night, he basically said that the only thing that he really didn't like, aside from the defensive breakdowns, was just taking unnecessary penalties that really cost them in the third period. And so they tightened that up on Saturday night against arguably and admittedly probably a bit of a softer team in Bridgeport, but Laval responded really well. Charlie Lindgren, despite what the score sheets say, Charlie Lindgren played very well. And Zach Vukali had a good first start out of the gate as well. So I think it was a good starting point for their first road trip. And I imagine that they'll build from there. They do, in fact, have a game coming up at home tomorrow night, Wednesday night. That game is at 7:30, I believe. And from what we understand from some news out of Laval today is that it looks like Zach Vukali may get the start tomorrow. And it also looks like Jeremy Gregoire is out with an injury. We noticed he wasn't on the trip at all this weekend. But he could possibly be coming back as early as this weekend. Marcus Eisenschmidt still no details yet on his return from his lower body injury, which he sustained in Wilkes-Barre on Friday night. But two of the top line, and the top line, admittedly, again, still looking very good, of Chris Terry, Michael McCarron, and Nikita Sherbak, two of them have now had a call up, and it looks like Sherbak and McCarron will be starting on the fourth line in Montreal tonight, which I think, Rick, I think McCarron's probably used to that fourth line center role when he gets called up. It'll be nice to see Sherbak getting to play with him, although he's on the left side, which is a little curious to me. But I have a little audio. We did have a chance to speak with Nikita Sherbak over the weekend, and talking about when he comes up and needing to have confidence, I believe that despite being on the left side of him, I think he'll have confidence getting to play with McCarron tonight. And when we talked to him over the weekend, I asked him specifically how the chemistry was for that first line of him and McCarron and Terry, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, just I mean, we played quite a few games, so chemistry is there. You know, we understand each other. There's no extra kind of talk needed. We talk a lot on the bench, but like we kind of know who is gonna be in what position, and so it's easy to play with them. You know, for me, they really skilled, they're really smart, and just it's fun to play with them in the same line.
So that sounds like a guy that's probably gonna be pretty stoked to get to play with Mike McCarron on the line tonight, don't you think?
Absolutely, and. Galchenyuk on that line as well. I would rather see them. Nikita Sherbak's on a bit of a roll as far as offense goes in the AHL, and so I'd rather see him on a line that's going to get more minutes, going to be on the ice more regularly, and in a bit more of an offensive role. But at least he's with. Familiar players, and that should help him out. He's been a guy transformed this season. A lot is being made of the points, and you know, as it should be. But he's far more engaged this season. He's up and down the ice. He's coming back checking, breaking up. You know, he's getting in the lanes, using his stick. He was blocking shots. He was.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with him in all areas of the ice, with or without the puck, on the weekend. He's playing very, very well. Lots of confidence right now.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that. I believe when on Friday night in Wilkes-Barre, during the third period, I was standing in the Zamboni tunnel against the glass, shooting. Photography of the game for AHL Report, and Sherbak gathered up the puck in the defensive end down in the corner and just absolutely took off with it up ice, went the full length of the ice, and I heard members of the ice crew next to me mutter under their breaths, "Wow, that guy's really quick." and yeah, that's the exactly kind of what you just said is he's really become much more, not that he wasn't noticeable before, but he's really standing out even to people who don't watch this team every single time. So I think things are really starting to kind of come together for him.
And similarly, I think that Mike McCarron is transformed. Certainly physically he's transformed. He worked very hard in the off season, but there's a different attitude. As I said to him after the game, you're all business, Mike, and he is. There's been a tendency in the past for him to feel that he has to protect his teammates, he has to set a tone, he has to go after people, and as he said, he's keeping a little bit clearer that this year. And he's got a much better focus, a much better attitude. He realizes that he doesn't have to be the guy getting all the points, and he just needs to play his game, strong two-way, the net front presence, and he was excellent at that all weekend.
Absolutely, and as you mentioned in my interview, in our interview with him on Saturday night after the win in Bridgeport. He had some really great things to say, and here's just one of those, kind of referencing what you were just speaking about, Rick.
I had a really good summer training. I did pretty good in all my physical tests and that, and camp didn't go the way I wanted to, and sometimes that's the way it goes. It's maybe I wasn't mentally prepared. Like I said, we have to beat tomorrow, but it's a good learning curve for me, and I'm ready to go for this year and make them call me up.
Make them call me up. Those words, when he said it, I kind of smiled, and then it was, 24 hours later, and he was up with the Canadians. It's a great attitude for him to have, and I'm sure the organization loves to hear things like that.
Absolutely, and I said to him after he said that, I said, it sounds like you've got the right attitude, and that attitude is probably half the battle. To which he kind of chuckled and said, well, yeah. And that's a big difference from last year. When he didn't make the roster last year, I don't know that it seemed like it weighed on him a lot. It seems like this year he's kind of taking that in stride and just knowing that it's all part of the process. And sure enough, as you say, he got called up right away. But it's also, I have one more clip from him that I'd like to play because I thought it was interesting. Something he mentioned about his role when he does get called up. Because I had mentioned to him, it has to feel good that you're getting on the point sheet. You've got goals, you've got assists, and here's what he had to say about that.
If you're contributing, you have to feel good that you're contributing as well. You're getting on the score sheet, assists. You're getting
on
the point.
Yeah, it's. That's the one thing that they told me when they come down here. Don't worry about points and just worry about my game. Because when I get called up, I'm not going to be a point guy. I got to be strong physically and in the defensive zone and controlling pucks and things like that. So I got to continue to work on those aspects of my game. But at this level, I should contribute. I should be owning the puck and taking pucks to the net and making plays. So far, so good.
So I found that to be very interesting. Everybody focuses so much on the young guys when they come up, are they scoring? And here's an instance where he says he knows he's not necessarily going to be looked at to come up and get goals and assists, but more, be that big presence that they need in the defensive end and helping to get pucks off the board and out of the corners and whatnot. So I thought that was really interesting.
It's very interesting, and I like that he's internalized the messages that he's been getting from the Canadians. We saw in the preseason where he was struggling and kind of forcing things. He was trying to score. He was trying to make the dangerous pass to set someone up and then thought that maybe staying in the lineup or staying with the big club meant that he had to fight, and he got into, an unnecessary fight. I think he realized that his camp was kind of going downhill and things just kind of piled up, and he tried very hard. But he tried in the wrong ways. And I think the message to him now is you don't have to be that point guy. You don't have to. We want you to be physical, but that doesn't mean fighting. We want you to use your body to win battles. Win battles all over the ice. Be responsibly, be a responsible defensive person and dominate, using your body, controlling the puck in the offensive zone, wearing out the opposition. That's your role. If you're going to be on the fourth line, that's your role.
Right.
And he seems to get it now. And we'll see if they can put that into practice tonight.
I certainly hope they do. It'll be interesting to see how things go overall, but especially for the two of them tonight. Focusing back now on the roster who still is in Laval. One guy who cracked the lineup a couple times this weekend and had a very good outing was David Brohl. He's been a bit in and out of the lineup, not always on the ice, and he came through with a big goal in Wilkes-Barre on Friday night and had some really good play through that game and in Bridgeport. And he also had some good insight on really knowing what his role and his line mates' role are from his coaches. Here's what he had to say when we spoke to him in Wilkes-Barre on Friday.
On pucks and start and being a presence down low, and I think that's the main thing our coaches are asking for our bottom six is just to keep the puck in their end and wear their D down so that our skill guys can go have some fun out there. So I thought we played a good game, as I said.
So again, a case where, you know, a veteran guy knows exactly what his role is, and yeah, Brohl can be a bit of a tough guy out there, but he also knows that Lefebvre is counting on those bottom six guys to do very specific things, and it's not always necessarily getting on the score sheet. But I was happy to see him have a really, really good weekend this weekend.
Against the Penguins, as you said, he got the goal, but he was also instrumental. He didn't get an assist, but he provided the screen for Tom Parisi's goal, and you know, he was effective every time he was on the ice. But
yeah.
He, as you said, he can be, an agitator. He can play what role you need him to play. But he's smart. He knows when to turn it on, when to turn it off. And always like when I see him in the lineup. He skates well. He's responsible defensively, and he's one of the veterans on the team that can provide some leadership as well.
Absolutely. Another guy that kind of gets tossed around once in a while for who's going to get called up next, who also didn't have an incredibly outstanding camp, is Daniel Carr, who is doing quite well so far this season. He's I believe has 5 goals in the season so far, and really seems to have picked up his offensive game again. And asked him about that on Saturday night in Bridgeport, about how he feels the first portion of this season is going. And here's what he had to say.
How do you feel just your games for guests? You've been on the point sheet almost every game. And how do you feel your season going?
I mean, it's early. I've only played 4 games, so it's like kind of. This year, the focus was for me. It's a marathon, but you gotta bring your best every night. So you can do that. So I think it's kind of one game at a time, and one make sure I keep a good mindset all year. I think that's the big thing for me. So, yeah.
Again, I think we see here an example of someone who's starting to understand more of the process, and that just because they get sent down doesn't mean they're not coming back, and that they just have things to work on. And it sounds like he has the right attitude. Do you think, based on what you've seen so far, do you think he's a contender for a call up whenever one is needed?
Yeah, I like Dan Carr a lot. He's been compared favorably to Brendan Gallagher, just the way his tenaciousness, his fearlessness, the way he goes to the net, all of those things are what endear you to your line mates and to your teammates, to your coach. He's now played in 5 games. He has 4 goals and 2 assists, always around the net. Always, the puck seems to find him. He knows how to find the open ice, and playing on the second line, he's given, you mentioned the top line has been tremendous, but now with Sherbach and McCarron being up, he'll be able to fill in and play with Chris Terry, and he'll be able to step in without missing a beat and be able to provide some of the offense that will be missing without Sherbach there.
Yeah. Lastly, just as far as some audio clips that we wanted to share with our listeners from the past weekend, we've spoken a lot already today about guys who are coming into this season with a good attitude. And another one of those that seems to have really turned a corner with that, not that he had a bad attitude, but just that he seems to be really locked in on the task at hand and the mission in front of him is Zach Fucale. And as we said, he got his first start of the season on Saturday night, came away with a win, and asked him how in our interview with him on Saturday after the game, asked him to describe, you know, just how he feels the start of the season has gone, and he said something along the lines of, you know, I've come into this season with the right mindset. And I asked him to expand on that a little bit, like, what does that mean to Zach Fucale? What is the right mindset? And here's a little insight into that.
I just came into this season with a fresh attitude, and want to stay calm through it all and play hard, prepare well, and get some results for a team.
What's it like? Play hard, prepare well, and get the results for the team. He sounds like he's very focused. As I mentioned, he may be getting the start again tomorrow night. And I thought, yeah, despite still having some rebound difficulty on Saturday night, I thought he looked. I thought he looked decent in net.
Yeah, Zach had much more help on Saturday, as the defensive play was much better, and as you mentioned, Bridgeport's not a strong team, but they protected much better than they did for Charlie Lindgren the night before. And Zach, coming into this year, I like how he's approaching it. He didn't have the greatest year. It must have been a blow going down to being knocked down a level of the ECHL last year. He didn't have a kind of a mediocre regular season with the Brampton Beast. Was terrific in the playoffs. He played really well.
Yeah.
And helped them get help Brampton get as far as they did, and that I think, you know, gave him some energy for coming into this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's not he wouldn't be called a, you know, calm or even keeled, or he's not a Carey Price, he's not a Charlie Lindgren, he's not even a Michael McNiven. He's a very emotional guy. He's just a different guy, and so he has to find ways to manage those emotions and work on his focus. And he seems to have that much better under control this year. He said he's learned some things. He learned some things last year and that have prepared him well. And I think he's really trying to because, I mean, he's an athletic goaltender. Mm-hmm. He's a big game goaltender, but it's those emotions, the highs or the lows that have caused some issues in the past, and he's really working hard to manage those and focus on the game at hand.
So for any of our listeners who would like to hear full audio of all of our interviews from this weekend, which of course include the players that you've heard tonight, bits and pieces of, as well as Brett Learnout, which we did not feature any of his interview on the podcast today, as well as both Knight's interview with Sylvain Lefebvre, be sure to check those audio clips out on our recaps on AHL.report. In addition to that, we do have on the website full video of Michael McCarron's interview in its entirety, and a full video of Nikita Sherbak's interview in its entirety. So be sure to check those out, watch those, share them with your friends. It's great insight into the players and the coaches and how things are going in Laval, and gives you a better idea and better just overall look at these prospects before they get called up, like McCarron and Sherbak have done tonight.
Those clips are great, and those interviews too, the video interviews, lots of insight there.
Yeah.
But that's got to bring us to where are they now, right? Now, where at, where are they now?
We're not, but if you'd like to call an audible here and go.
And we're talking about Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and who was there? Christian Thomas, former Canadian prospect, former Bulldog, and Jared Tenorti. Jared Tenorti didn't play, but he's a member of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins.
Well, thanks. That was my Where Are They Now? Thanks.
And And
you just,
Tom
you
Christopoulos.
Just
Tom Christopoulos.
Uh-huh.
The captain of Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Oh,
uh-huh.
So you're saying we're not, we shouldn't go into that right now. Do you have other things planned? I'm sorry.
Please feel free, because you just, I mean, you've already blown my "where are they now" out of the water. So please go right ahead.
Oh, great.
Continue.
There's a schedule here. We must follow the schedule.
So who is your, so yes, Jared Tenorti was my "where are they now." He is now playing for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, as Rick has already stolen my thunder on this one. So he did not play while we were there. He was injured at the end of September and has not been back to play yet. But Jared Tenorti was a bit of a fan favorite and had good things coming, and he is now in Wilkes-Barre.
It's an excellent "where are they now."
Great. So who is your "where are they now"?
Oh, we're gonna do it.
Well, yeah.
I didn't mean to. It means to do a lot of things, I guess.
Uh huh.
My where are they now? Do you remember a player by the name of Olivier Archambault?
I do.
Now, he was a fourth round pick by the Canadians back in 2011, and a cute player, played for Drummondville, and then briefly, the end of the season, was called up by the Bulldogs and played the Hamilton Bulldogs, played 10 games before going back to junior the next year, but he ran into some, I'll just say, off ice issues, and that was it for his tenure with the Canadiens organization. I mean, he had one good 30 goal season in the Q, but like many Q players, has had difficulty, replicating that once they turn pro. So he's kind of bounced around. We haven't heard from him. He's kind of bounced around, mostly in the ECHL with Alaska Quad City Mallards, South Carolina Stingrays last year,
mm-hmm.
And this year is a member of the Allen Americans.
Really?
He is. And has played 2 games for the Allen Americans. And he has 2 goals and 5 assists for 7 points.
What?
Yeah. So.
So he was just, he took everything that he did, like, up till now and just did it in 2 games?
Yeah, apparently. And
okay.
So that has earned him a call-up with the Allen American affiliate, the AHL team known as the San Jose Barracuda.
Wow.
So he is now with in back to the AHL after that outburst in the ECHL.
We'll see
what happens. But leaving behind, still a member of the Allen Americans, is Dalton Thrower.
Oh, really? Is that where he landed?
And Dalton Thrower, yeah, he signed in the offseason with the Allen Americans. Dalton Thrower, at one time, he was a second-round pick in 2012 by the Canadians, and at one time was a very highly touted defensive prospect, physical skate, a leader he was a captain when he was with the Vancouver Giants, and a lot was expected of him, but he ran into some injury problems one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, just 15 games with Brampton Beast, regular season games. And then he was very good, I thought. He was very good in when the Beast went on their playoff run.
Yeah.
He was playing the second pairing. It actually was, back and forth between the second and first pairing defense. It looked pretty good. So, but didn't return with the Canadiens organization. Signed in the offseason with the Allen Americans, and signed together with his younger brother, Josh.
Oh, wow.
Josh, an undrafted player, played in the Western Hockey League. They're both BC boys. So Dalton and his younger brother, Josh, are both playing for the Allen Americans this season.
That's tremendous.
And so in a roundabout way, from Olivier Archambault to the Thrower brothers, that is where they are this week.
Maybe we should rename this segment to like Journeys with Rick. This is kind of, you take us on this little traveling path, and you never really know which destination is the final destination, because there's always a new one around the corner.
That's right.
Well, in other AHL news, there is the AHL announced within the last week, as we've talked about before, an outdoor game is returning to the league this year on January 20th. The Hershey Bears, they're currently celebrating an anniversary season, and so they will be hosting the Lehigh Valley Phantoms for an outdoor game in Hershey on January 20th. Well, to expand on those celebrations, very, very, what I think is a very cool additional outdoor game is now going to be played the day before that, on the 19th, between alumni of the Hershey Bears and alumni of the Philadelphia Flyers, who the Flyers used to have an affiliation in Hershey, which is where that connection kind of comes in, coupled with the fact that they'll be playing the Phantoms the next day. And so you've got guys who are playing for the Flyers alumni team, like Eric Lindros, Danny Briere, John LeClaire, Kimmo Timonen, Aaron Asham will be there, Terry Karkner, Riley Cote, Brian Propp, Joe Watson, who will play at 74 years young, and in goal, former Hershey Bear Neil Little is confirmed to be in the crease for the Flyers, and both teams will be coached.
Putting on the pads. Get him put on the pads.
He's going to be behind the bench. Bernie Perron and Paul Holmgren will serve as the coaches for the game. So, against a bunch of Bears alumni, it could be quite an interesting game, but should be a ton of fun for fans. These two outdoor games will be played in Hershey Park Stadium, which is a very big football stadium right next door to the Giant Center where the Bears play. Great venue, outdoor venue for concerts and whatnot. As well. So the stadium is very big. They'll be able to fit a ton of people in there. It should be really, really cool to see not only this alumni game, but the AHL outdoor game the next day as well. So could be a lot of fun.
Sounds great.
And of course, to wrap up some AHL news, we have the player of the week. Happily, no suspensions to announce this week, so everyone behaved themselves very nicely, which is always good to see. But our CCM AHL player of the week announced from the AHL yesterday, it comes from the Bakersfield Condors and is goaltender Nick Ellis. He made two starts last week. One of them was a shutout. One of them, he only allowed one goal, stopping a total of 67 of 68 shots last week. Yeah. Quite something. So that would be Nick Ellis, who was the CCM AHL Player of the Week for the Bakersfield Condors.
It's always nice to see that these undrafted free agent kind of signings, particularly goaltenders.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Ellis of Providence came from NCAA, and you know, goaltenders kind of sometimes can take a little bit longer to put things together. He's 23 years old now, and it's great to see him succeeding. And you know what? I'm going to make every segment. This is my goal, to make every segment Where Are They Now. But because
has my show been hijacked?
What's that?
Has my show been hijacked?
Yeah, pretty much. No, but Nick Ellis is part of for Bakersfield. He's part of the goaltending tandem there. Includes none other than Eddie Pasquale.
Oh well, we like Eddie Pasquale.
Everybody loves Eddie Pasquale. He was adored in
St. John's. St. John's loved him.
Well, partly because in the first go round he was part of both Ice Caps franchises.
Right.
When they were part of the Winnipeg Jets, he was part of that group. He was drafted by the not the Jets but the Thrashers, the same thing. And so they loved him. They loved him then. And then when he came back, 2015-16 with the Canadiens version of the Ice Caps, they loved him all over again. So yeah, it's nice to see. And Eddie splitting the duties there in Bakersfield with the winner this week, Nick Ellis.
Fantastic. Is there any more Where Are They Now that you'd like to get out of your system now before we move on, or do you want to save some for next week?
Well, there might be some in the next season. We'll see.
Okay. Okay, so I guess that brings us to what's usually the most fun part of the show, and that is our top five. Remember, we want to hear your top fives. I know ours are just so exciting, but we want to hear yours as well, so be sure to tweet them at us at the AHL Report on Twitter, or post them on Facebook. Send us a message on Facebook. We want to hear your top five as well, but this week is a little different. Not difficult because there weren't quality people to pull from, but we just want to make sure that everything's kind of up on the up and up. So the top five this week is our top five current NHL players. And I don't mean in terms of who the best are, just kind of who we really enjoy watching. So I should make the stipulation that because we do cover the Canadiens and their affiliate teams, we made the executive decision to exclude Canadiens players or former Canadiens players from our list, because we certainly don't want to show any favoritism there, because we do objectively report on these athletes, as well as we're not going to touch goaltenders, just because we're just going to focus on forwards and defensemen for this. So skaters. Did I get all the rules?
Yeah, you said usually. That's the most usually the most fun. That was the operative word in this, because this was torturous.
this was hard.
We had to I would have had five goalies, so we would have to eliminate goalies first of all.
Yeah, eliminate goalies, eliminate Habs players, because of course there are
Habs. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's players that we enjoy watching, but. Again, in our reporting, as our teammate Blaine actually tweeted this week, integrity, journalistic integrity, is a core component of the Rocket Sports Media team, and so we don't want to make it seem like we're showing favoritism just because we enjoy watching a particular athlete play hockey. So we're just gonna cut them out, but it did make it a little more challenging, I must say.
And the word enjoy watching and so don't say, oh well, somebody's better than another. It's not what this is about. And in fact, I enjoy watching Connor McDavid play, but I didn't put him on my list because I thought it was kind of obvious or whatever. Or, you know, Austin Matthews or any of those. Actually, my after I pared my list down, I when I started this, in 3 minutes, I wrote down a dozen and a half players. So my discard list,
A dozen and a half? There was a half player?
A dozen and a half. Yeah. Okay. No, that 12 plus 6 is 18. That's a dozen and a half.
Oh, okay. Is that Canadian math?
But I look at my discards. Anthony Mantha, Gabriel Landeskog. You know, I love Alexander Wenberg. I tell everybody, go watch Alexander Wenberg. And they didn't make my cut because we had to pair down to five. So yes, this was not as fun as some of the ones in the past have been.
It wasn't. So the rules apply. We're going to hold all of our listeners to the same rules. When you tweet us your top five, no goaltenders, no Habs or former Habs players, and you can enjoy the torturousness of this exercise as well. But I'd be curious to see what you guys out there listening come up with. So send us your lists. In the meantime, our number fives. I'm going to start with a young man who plays for the Winnipeg Jets, who just has some really good hockey IQ, is always fun to watch play, and just has some really sick skills when he gets going, and that's Patrick Laine.
He's all right.
He's all right?
He's
a little more than all right.
He's on my list elsewhere, so I can't.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
I can't comment right now.
All right, so more comment coming, but my number five is Laine in Winnipeg. Who you got at number five?
At number five, I have Travis Sanheim, Philadelphia Flyers, and one of the group of young gun defensemen that you hear, Gostisbehere, he's been there a bit, but Sam Moran, Hag.
Robert Hag, yeah.
But Travis Sanheim, the first time I saw him, I said, when I grow up, I want to skate like Travis Sanheim. there's a lot of quick skaters in the league. There's a lot of, but the way he's smooth.
Yeah.
The way he transitions from one way to another. He's just an absolute pleasure to watch. And having said that, you think a smooth skater, he's got a little grit. He plays.
Oh,
he plays
physically.
He's got a little bit of an edge to him. He came from the Calgary Hitmen and good Manitoba guy and has cracked the lineup with the Flyers this year. He's played five games. So,
mm-hmm.
I really like watching Travis Sanheim play.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. He's one of the ones on my discard pile that didn't make the top five, but he's always a joy to watch, and he has a ton of upside. He's very good now. I think he's going to develop into an outstanding defenseman. Okay, so Sanheim, and you have honored my Philadelphia Flyers, so. I mean,
sadly, I did.
So that's just, I mean, we're off to a good start there.
Let's give them kudos. They've been drafting well for the last five years or so. Yeah.
Yes, they have. Another one who didn't make my top five. In speaking of drafting well, Nolan Patrick is a joy to watch as well. That kid's got great eyes. Some of his assists lately have been absolutely ridiculous. He seems to have eyes in the back of his head. So yes, I agree with you there. But who do you have at number four?
At number four, surprise, surprise, I have Patrick Laine from the Winnipeg Jets.
Gee. Cheater.
It's funny because when we went to Lake Placid and a couple years back, and all the buzz... seemed to be around Jesse Puljujärvi, and Puljujärvi was impressive.
Absolutely.
At Lake Placid. But Puljujärvi had the cage at that time, one of two players, and Puljujärvi had the size, had the the speed. And then I noticed this other guy who had the cage, who had the size, who had the speed, who had a tremendous shot, who could just, the way he dominated and possessed the puck, and it was Patrick Laine. That was the first time I saw him in person. He was impressive then.
Mm-hmm.
He was impressive last season with the 36 goals, his Calder nomination, all of that. He is just, since Teemu Selänne, who all-time one of my favorite players to watch, Patrick Laine is an exciting, exciting player to watch play hockey.
Absolutely. I agree. My number four is probably, I'm never one that's, I'm not a big star fan. I don't know how I want to say that. I'm okay. Crosby's a good player. Great. Ovechkin's a good player. Great. Even on the Flyers, Claude Giroux, great player. Great. But Jonathan Toews, I actually really enjoy watching play hockey. And I have him at number four. He has just a quietness about his game, but it's stealthy. And he doesn't miss a beat when he's on the ice. And I think he's really, really fun to watch. So I have Jonathan Toews at number four.
I can understand why. And just Mr. Leadership. Lots of confidence. When you see that team, Kane is the Flash and Toews is just solid, just absolutely mm-hmm. solid.
Yep. All right, so who comes
so
in at the middle
back
of the...
To that.
Okay, so number three, we're talking about, since you're now the biggest Philadelphia Flyers fan in existence, and we're talking about how well they have drafted in recent years. My number three pick is a guy that we saw drafted a couple of years ago. In fact, we were sitting in the row in between two rows of his family during the draft, and so he ended up after he was drafted, came and sat in our section for a while, and is just, I'm amazed every time I watch him. I really am. And that's Travis Konecny. When he was playing for the 67s, he was on the highlight reel all the time, and he's doing it. He's still doing that, playing in the lineup in Philadelphia now. His speed is something else to see. His shot, he's just got a laser shot, really good hockey IQ, and I really enjoy watching Travis Konecny.
It was nice to meet him. He's very well spoken, very humble,
mm-hmm.
and his family was as well. And you see him on the ice. He's a great skater, but it's not his flat out speed. It's his acceleration
and he's
very unpredictable, very, very hard to play against. And he's got the puck handling skills to be able to keep up with his ability to switch speeds and direction in skating.
He
can be electrifying at times. Absolutely electrifying.
And that's what I was just going to say. In agreement with you that yes, his acceleration is phenomenal, but he cuts very quickly and can change directions on a dime and not miss a beat. If you haven't really watched him play, I recommend you do.
Absolutely.
So who do you have at number three?
Well, you mentioned Jonathan Toews.
Mm-hmm.
I picked his line. And that's on the left side of, well, there's Richard Panik on the right. I think I have Richard Panik in fantasy, but there's not enough love there for him to add to the list. So on the left side, you'll find Brandon Saad. And I always really liked Brandon Saad. He's kind of that prototypical power forward when power forwards were a thing, and you're just your steady 50-point guy. And it was really hard, I think, when Chicago had to, because of cap considerations and whatnot, make the trade with Columbus to give him up, and he went there and performed, you know, well with Columbus. Mm-hmm. But he's just that kind of he's physical, he's smart, he's just very competitive. He wins battles. So they gave up a lot. They gave up a lot in Panarin to get him back, but they brought him back and set him beside Taves, and he's got 6 goals already this season. Just a great player to watch.
Well, I fully agree with you there, and I have to admit, he's not one that I have watched really closely in depth, so I will be sure to watch him a little bit more. So that brings us to number 2. Who do you have at the second slot?
Number 2, I have, he's kind of a senior statesman now in the league, and that's Anze Kopitar with the Los Angeles Kings, taking the same draft just a little bit later than Carey Price. He's one of the best shutdown guys in the league. We saw that when the Canadians faced the Kings last week. Canadians had 72-odd shot attempts. Jonathan Drouin had one. If Jonathan Drouin is the Canadians' most lethal weapon, Kopitar and his line did an excellent job of just eliminating him from the conversation. And at the same time, Kopitar leads the Kings right now with 11 points. So he does both. He can play a shutdown role. He's a key for the offense, and is just a good player to watch. I enjoy watching him, and doesn't get a lot of attention.
I agree with you there. He's a very good player. I always try to get him in my fantasy draft because he's a pretty reliable guy for fantasy as well. And yes, very good player. So I agree with your number 2 there. My number 2, as much as it pains me, is a Toronto Maple Leafs player, but can't deny that he lit things up last year and he's doing it again this year, and that's Austin Matthews. He finds the puck and he finds the back of the net, and he just has very artistic ways of doing it. There's no denying that. And so even though he's a relatively new player in the league, he's quickly catapulted towards the top of my list just because he's just entertaining to watch. He really is.
He's one of those, like Connor McDavid, he's one of those generational talents, and he makes the most of his opportunities against the Canadians. He was given 2 scoring chances and he buried them both.
Absolutely.
He knows how to score.
So who's your number 2?
My number 2 was Anze Kopitar. So I think.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
To number 1.
That's right. We're on number 1. So who's going first?
Go ahead.
Okay. So my number 1, kind of going along with Austin Matthews, he's a relatively new player in the league, but I could watch Connor McDavid play every single night. He is just something else to watch. He really is. He makes it look so easy, but he owns the ice when he's out there, and I think it's tremendously fun watching him play. I think he's made the Oilers fun to watch play, and I just think watching him grow as he gets older as a player is going to be quite something to watch. So I have Connor McDavid at my number 1.
I'm not comparing him to Wayne Gretzky, but there's no player since Gretzky that can find space, who just has the anticipation that mm-hmm. Connor McDavid has. And he's got so many weapons, just so many weapons. Just his speed, he can just pull away from guys. His puck handling, his shot, but it's just his ability to know what's going to happen, where the play is going to go. That is just astonishing, and nobody since Gretzky has had that.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so do you need a drum roll for your number one?
No, actually, because this pick is kind of an unheralded budding superstar. I don't think he gets the attention he deserves, and that's Mark Scheifele with the Winnipeg Jets. I think he's going to be something. He already is. I mean, last season, he led the Jets, 82-point season, top 10 in NHL scoring. But again, there's not, you know, you don't hear much about him. He's very skilled. He's got that combination of size, hockey sense. He's the hardest worker on the ice. He's a Kitchener guy. And played in the OHL for Barry, and I don't know. You're going to hear more about Mark Scheifele, and maybe even this season. Mm-hmm. I think the Jets have a really nice combination there with Nikolai Ehlers, I expect that Scheifele is going to put up a big season, and he's my number one player to watch.
Excellent. So who are your top five? Remember, we want to hear from you. Get in on this as well. If you had to pick your five favorite forwards and defensemen in the NHL right now, just in terms of who you really think is fun to watch, not goaltenders and not anyone who's in the Canadiens organization or formerly in the Canadiens organization, tweet that list out to us on Twitter. And we'll share it with listeners and readers as well. Of course, on Twitter, you can find us at the AHL Report. You can reach Rick directly at the NHL Twitter account, which is at All Habs, and you can reach me at Flyers Rule on Twitter. So be sure to hit us up there as well as on Facebook and Instagram. Of course, if you enjoy this podcast and you'd also like to hear Rick's take as well as Chris G, who is another one of our fantastic team members here, their takes on the Montreal Canadiens, be sure to tune into Habs 360. That podcast airs live at 2 p.m. Eastern every Saturday, so you can call in, you can join in the conversation. They read tweets out loud on the air, and it's a really nice interactive hour of talk about the Montreal Canadiens and NHL analysis at that level. So be sure to tune into Habs 360 with Rick and Chris on All Habs at 2 o'clock on Saturdays. And until then, Rick, I guess, you know, we've got some more Rocket games this week. We've got a Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and we'll be keeping listeners and readers well informed as the week goes on.
Absolutely. Check us out, ahl.report and the AHL Report on Twitter, and get all your information and be sure to interact with us. We're glad to provide analysis, updates, and all the latest for the players that you want to hear about.
We love to hear from you. We love to talk with our listeners and our readers on social media, so be sure to hit us up. Thanks so much for listening. We really enjoy coming and talking with you and talking about AHL hockey every Tuesday right here on the AHL Report. Until next time, we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks for listening.